WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
My guests are Art Spiegelman and Françoise Mouly. Together, they founded the magazine Raw to publish avant-garde comics and graphics from Europe and America. 8 issues have appeared since 1980. Pantheon has just published an anthology of highlights from the first 3 issues. Raw has billed itself as the graphics magazine that lost its faith in nihilism and the graphics magazine of abstract depressionism. Françoise is Raw's publisher, production designer, and co-editor. Art is co-editor and a cartoonist. He's known to a broader audience for his book Mouse, A Survivor's Tale. Told in comic strip form, Mouse is the story of how his Polish-Jewish parents survived the Holocaust and what it was like for him to grow up as the son of survivors. Mouse was first serialized in Raw magazine. Raw is difficult to describe, but I asked Art and Françoise to take a shot at it.
Well, Raw is kind of a literary magazine for the post-literate, basically. It's a graphics magazine, publishes large pictures and comics, but not comics like you grew up with, but comics like you might grow into. Publishes a whole bunch of people from different countries, all of whom have as their main common denominator the fact that they are seriously working in comics.
Well, the reason why we decided to publish a magazine is because this kind of comics was absolutely without a home. Nobody was interested in publishing work outside of just the standard fare of comics.
One of the things with the comic books that most people would be familiar with is that they're done by people who grew up reading comic books. So you get this kind of hemophiliac bleeder, fifth generation comic book artist that makes for a very finite, limited, self-enclosed system. And I suppose there's a place for it, but there's also, should I would hope, be room somewhere for things that have the same ambitions or the same scope of ambition that one would ordinarily look toward a novel or toward a serious film or to painting for.
Probably a lot of people say, if you're so interested in movies and literature and painting, how come you never graduated from comics and moved on to those other forms?
I graduated from other forms and moved on to comics. Started out doing some painting. But one of the things that was exciting about comics is it's only about 100 or so years old, and almost nothing's been done with it. It's just this fantastic medium that got, in a sense, stunted by the invention of cinema, which performed some similar functions more effectively. And the result was that comics were never allowed to fully grow up.
You both founded Raw as a vehicle for your own comics and for other people's comics that had no other home. Did you know a lot of other disenfranchised cartoonists whose work that you could incorporate into Roa?
Yes, and what we were looking for is a lot of disenfranchised publishers and editors that would pick up all this work and expose it. So after trying this a number of times, we decided to hell with it. We'll just do a magazine that will show all the work. So we did Raw 1, and we were very surprised when people said, like, when is the next issue coming out? We thought, like, well, somebody else will say, like, oh, this is great, I'm going to be publishing a magazine like this. But then we were stuck. We had to do a second issue and a third issue and so on.
And it's been making a very strong impact. And in some ways, I'm concerned about the impact it's been making.
What do you mean?
Well, see, the thing is, when we did Raw, we had a strategy, which was everybody thinks comics are these kind of dumb, disposable little things, and we'll just approach it with the same respect that one would approach to printing any other artwork if one could. Well, all this is great, except what I'm beginning to see is the same old crud, but now with very nice packaging. People have, in the publishing world, have taken their cue from Raw in the sense of applying high production values, but not necessarily in approaching the work itself as serious matter, as stuff that can have something to say, that can show you something, that and give you a sense of a real experience. Instead, what I'm beginning to see is a lot of very standard comic book fare and even comic strip fare repackaged with flexi discs and gold embossed covers, but inside you get the same old stuff.
Françoise, I think most of the people who have done comics through the years have been men, and even like Action Comics and Marvel Comics, those kinds of comics are always a very boy-associated type of hobby. Do you feel like you're one of the few women in this new kind of comic graphic?
It actually is a problem sometimes to find myself in comic shops where I feel like I'm in Times Square in some kind of like porno. I mean, it's so imbued with teenage male fantasies. A lot of the way people read their book and the content of the book is so escapist. There are women that are now head of publishing companies, independent publishing companies. There are fewer women cartoonists, per se.
Art, you drew the first cover for Raw Magazine, and the cover showed a man sitting in an easy chair in his living room reading Raw Magazine. And behind him, out the window, you could see a body falling past the window. And it was obviously somebody who jumped out the window to kill themselves, jumped from a higher story in the apartment building. I think it's fair to say that suicide, alienation, despair have become kind of constant themes in the comics in Raw. Do you think that cartoonists are an especially depressed breed?
Oh, God, even that question is so depressing. Yes, I'm afraid. So, like, the first issue was called The Graphics Magazine of Postponed Suicides, which we took from a punchy one-liner by E.M. Curran. So I suppose that, like, a lot of the work is despairing. On the other hand, within what may seem to be depressing, there's a lot of stuff that also is very vital and sometimes very, very funny, even if behind the laugh is a scream.
You came of age at the same time as the underground comics really started to blossom. Underground comics really became associated with the counterculture and with smoking marijuana and dropping LSD. Do you think that that kind of countercultural association stunted its growth in a way?
Well, it's what made the growth possible, and then eventually it became a straitjacket that had a noose connected to it. Yeah. See, what happened was at one point it was wonderful. Underground comics represent maybe the first time in the history of comics as a medium that there was such a thing as an avant-garde, people doing comics for the sake of doing comics. On the other hand, bit by bit, it became typecast. So what people went to underground comics for were for titillating shock, for political commentary of a relatively jejune kind, for stuff that more and more seemed to be dominated by sexist material. The result was that it never found its way into a mainstream that allowed it to expand beyond that subculture. And as a result, like, yeah, it was set back for 10 years. When Raw first started appearing, things seemed like a complete vacuum. There was nothing else appearing. That's beginning to change now again.
In Raw Magazine, you can see the influence of the underground comics, and you can also see connections to, for instance, the Nancy comics, and you can even see connections to bubblegum comics. You have inserts in most of the editions of Raw. One of the inserts is a takeoff of baseball cards that you used to get with bubblegum. Did you used to enjoy those kinds of things when you were young?
Oh, yeah. I lived and breathed that stuff. And then I somehow wanted to keep it all with me as I grew up. I didn't want to let any of it go. I just wanted to sort of grow it up with me. One thing that I get scared of, now that I've been seeing all these articles appear about how comics are growing up, is that the whole medium could actually get fossilized in a kind of stuffiness. The closer we come to achieving our goal of making comics legit, the more I feel like doing something kamikaze-like and making something that's as outrageous as possible, because part of what's wonderful about comics is just how unlegitimate they are. I want to keep that as part of it.
You used to work for a bubblegum company.
Still do.
You still do?
Oh, sure. Garbage Pail Kids is the project that I'm very, very involved in on a weekly basis. If you've seen those, they're these little stickers with very ugly kids in them.
Right, right. Was it more like heaven or hell to actually be designing the kinds of bubblegum type cartoons and spin-offs that you used to love as a kid?
Oh, I think it's been a great honor to be able to do this kind of stuff. It's sort of like to try to warp kids' brains the way my brain was warped by Mad Comics. It seems like being able to take part in a wonderful anti-tradition.
How much of your home is given over to printing presses and other art-oriented machinery?
Until the birth of our baby, two-thirds of our place was the office, really, was where we worked. When Nadja was born, we couldn't continue like this, so we actually have a separate office now. And we're discovering this wonderful thing of having a house, being able to, like, go home. I mean, we've been spending the past 10 years saying, I want to go home, but there was never a home to go to that wasn't also an office.
Of course, Françoise is painting a rosier picture than actually exists. We have this printing press that's stuck on the fourth floor of a walk-up loft that we can't get out. Now that we're trying to turn it into a living room, we tried putting flowers on it, but it still looks a little bit out of place.
Well, I thank you both for talking with us about your work.
Thanks, Terry.
Thanks a lot.
Art Spiegelman and Françoise Mouly have edited an anthology edition of Raw magazine. This is Fresh Air.